Thanks, Connie. All right, so we're going to talk about having a successful, thriving business and the simple steps to doing that, because we all know that it's great when we know how to do hypnosis, and it's also important that we know how to do business, right? So when I come to these conferences, I'm always thinking to myself, like, what is going to give the most value to whoever is sitting here in this course? And so I wanted to tell you a little bit about my journey in business, and maybe that will help you with your journey. And then a few other steps. We're going to talk about, I think, 5 steps on how to have a thriving business and how to make money in your business. All right. So a little bit about me. I'm Karen Bird, and I have been doing hypnosis for 20 years. It was not always full time. I started out part time. I started out with hypnobirthing. We went to birth our 3rd child. I have a degree in psychology, went to school for my MSW, and I heard about hypnobirthing on the radio. And it had nothing to do with having a degree in psychology, because I didn't even know what hypnosis was. I think there's like a paragraph when we're learning about, when we have psychology, about hypnosis. And so I thought to myself, what the heck, I'm going to try it. Otherwise, I was having a C-section, and it was amazing. My OB said to me, if you want to teach it, I will endorse you in my practice if you want to become a practitioner. So I decided to become a practitioner and did that for about a year. On weekends, evenings, I was an at-home mom, had 3 foster girls, and it was kind of just some extra money, which I know a lot of us get into this business for just some extra money. And then as the boys grew up and were amazing wrestlers, my husband was a wrestling coach. He also had gone to college to wrestle on a scholarship. And so I was an at-home mom. I would do that part-time. And I decided to then get certified by the NGH. At the time, 20 years ago, we didn't have a lot of support with, you know, like on TV or on the internet. We didn't have YouTube. And so I know that those first couple of years that I was in the business, I lone wolfed it. And one of the things I'm going to talk about today is do not lone wolf it. You guys, there's so many resources out there. Find a buddy, find a partner, find a mentor, and learn from them and work with them. And you guys can like work together. So my journey took a really long time to get to the point where I felt like I was confident. I started with the group sessions, all that stuff. And then I started working with athletes. And they started coming to me because you're going to hear me talk about how important it is to have a niche in your business. I did write, I don't know if I have it, the book Hypnose Niche. And I'll tell you why I wrote that, because I started working with athletes and they just started telling other athletes. I started to become the expert in it. Our oldest son was an amazing wrestler. They were all great wrestlers, but he was like a national champ, a state champ, and he went to the Olympic Training Center because he was on the list of future Olympians, and that was his dream. And he brought back a psychology manual from the Olympic Training Center. And so a lot of the research that I did was around sports psychology. And I started teaching mental training with the added benefit of hypnosis to solidify it into the subconscious mind. And so I did that for a while. And then my first conference I ever went to was Heartland Hypnosis Conference. William Mitchell had met me, I don't remember where it was, but he said, why don't you come and speak? And I thought, oh gosh, I mean, I had never really spoken in my life. And I thought, oh, yeah, okay, I'll try it. So I started to speak on how to work with athletes. And at the time, Eleni Midas was there. And she was the keynote speaker that year. And she said to me, why aren't you teaching this to other hypnotists? You know what you're doing. You have a protocol. Why aren't you sharing this with others? And that's all I needed, that little like ping, right? To, oh, okay. So I wrote a manual on, let's see what it was. It was a mindset training guide called Attitude of a Champion. And it was everything I did when I worked with athletes on the 3 sessions at the time. Now I do 4 sessions on, you know, scripts and everything that I had used, because I had worked with athletes by this time for almost 6 years. And so I started training that. And then I have this wonderful protocol. And I thought, now what? What do I do with this? I don't know how to market. I'm not a business person. In fact, I had imposter syndrome. And I would go out and, you know, I would go to the wrestling meets, or I would do things in town, And I would go to business events with my husband. And I was Kevin's wife. And I was like, I don't know how to do business. And so I didn't believe in myself. I played a small game. And I was afraid to tell anybody what I did. Because when I said I'm a hypnotist or a hypnotherapist or whatever it was at the time, they would not know what to ask me. And they'd think, oh, can you make me cluck like a chicken, right? And so when I finally embraced that I did know what I was doing and I could have a business and I decided to step into being an entrepreneur, I then was able to say, you know, I work with athletes to help them get the confidence to reach their peak performance. You know how some athletes, they are really great athletes and then they don't believe in themselves or they get performance anxiety? Well, in the end, I help them get the mental toughness and use hypnosis to do that. That made all the difference in the world. And so I started really embracing it. And then I was like, okay, now what do I do? So I hired a book coach thinking that he could help me write a lead magnet. We all know what lead magnets are, right? Lead magnets are like things that you get out there to attract people to your business. And I thought it would be on the attitude of a champion, how to work with athletes. And he talked me into writing this book on niching and how important it was to niche. It was a 90-day write your book, $6,000 I paid this guy. And I remember sitting on the pontoon boat with a few friends of mine and saying, there is no turning back now. I just spent $6,000 to write this book that I'm not even going to sell. I'm going to give away for free. And now there's my big why. I'm going to do this, right? And at the time then, our son, who was the oldest son, he went to college on a full scholarship. He had books and room and board. The first kid in 100 years in the college that was given this full scholarship. And so I thought, all right, this is his legacy. I want everybody to have that same mental toughness that he has. He believed in himself like no one's business. I remember asking him, you know, what is it like? How do you walk on the mat and just believe in yourself enough that you know you're going to win? In fact, I would say 50% of the time when he was wrestling at local meets, the opponent would forfeit because they were afraid of wrestling him because he was strong and aggressive and they always knew that he won. And so they wouldn't even wrestle him. And he told me it's really about turning off your mind because our mind thinks so much that when we are thinking too much, we can't wrestle. So the second I walk on the mat, I turn into an apex. I said, what the heck is an apex? He's like, I don't know, some creature that I turn into. I turn into an apex and I leave my human brain behind and I wrestle. So I've learned things like that from him, which to me was super helpful. And, you know, part of what I teach now is the strength and stuff that he gives to me, that he taught me. But actually, I was thinking about this. When I work with clients, I was thinking about this on the way here, you guys. When I work with clients, I talk about the inner mean guy and the inner mean girl a lot. And that's that conscious mind that is constantly chattering at us. That says things to us that people that loved us wouldn't say. You're not good enough. What's wrong with you? Your hair looks crappy today. Whatever, right? And if we could just take that inner mean guy or inner mean girl and put it on the chair next to us and say, just shut up for a while, we could actually accomplish a lot more in our lives, right? And we could go a lot further. But on the way here, I was thinking to myself, okay, I'm in a coaching course right now, and we have to write these big audacious goals. And one of my big audacious goals is to be more fun and have more fun and bring in more joy in my life because I tend to be very serious. And, you know, you can't live life being serious all the time, right? So I'm like, okay, how do I make things fun this weekend? Like, how does it get to be fun? I get to be lighter and more fun and not as serious. So I thought to myself, oh, okay, sing, because I've done some of these, my son died a few years ago and some spiritual stuff I've been doing since then. And one of them is like the angels are always telling you to sing, right? It raises your vibration. It makes you happier. So everything that came into my mind, I started singing on the way here. I had an hour and a half ride. So I was singing things like, and I want you guys all to think about trying this, like seriously. And I'm going to have you try it in just a minute. I was driving down the road. I'm thinking, 2 more minutes till my exit. That car is driving me crazy. What is going on here? But literally, like everything that was coming into my head, I was singing. And about 5 minutes into it, I was like, I'm crazy. Like, there is always something going on in there. And it is weird, right? Like, we're randomly popping around all the time. And when we explain that to our clients, you know, whether they're athletes or any other clients, when we start paying attention to what's going on in our mind, we really start to acknowledge what we're thinking, what we're saying, and if it's helping us or hurting us. And so, you know, just like practicing that. So I want you guys just for a moment, play with me, okay? Just play with me. All right. I'm going to count to three, and at three, I want you guys to sing what's going on. Like, really pay attention. Just start singing it. Ready? One, two, three. The walls are yellow. Look at the lights are up there. Oh my gosh, there's how many people in my room? That is black. Like, just start doing that. And it's kind of funny when you think about all the crazy stuff that goes in our mind. And with hypnosis, right, it's just that quieting of the mind so that we can work with our goals and what we really want to do. All right, so back to my story. Son went to college, got into some trouble. I hit some marijuana in his room. They wanted to make an example of him. He also had a bow in his room, not the arrows, but he was restringing it. That was against college rules. And so it was a smaller college, but it was a D2 college. And they threatened to charge him with 4 felonies unless he signed out of college in 24 hours. And he was Olympic hopeful. And so he did this without telling us, sold everything, hopped on a plane, and sent us an email the second that he was getting onto the plane saying, I'm flying down to Florida. I sold everything. I'm not in college anymore. I got in some trouble, and explained the situation to us. And I thought to myself, oh, this is a joke. Like, have you guys ever heard that joke where the kid says to the parent, oh, I'm moving down to Florida. I have a boyfriend. I'm pregnant and I'm going to get married. And then a few minutes later, she says, oh, just kidding. I got a D in my chemistry exam. Not so bad, is it? So I thought, oh, that's got to be one of those letters, right? Well, it wasn't one of those letters. We couldn't get a hold of the couch. He said he took a SIM card out of his phone because he didn't want anybody calling him, and he would get in contact with us in a few days. And so at the time, it was like really, that was probably one of the worst things that ever happened in my life, because I'm thinking, how do I get him back in college? What are we going to do with this kid? His whole world has been crushed in like 24 hours. And a few days later, he did contact us. I learned a lot of lessons from it. He stayed down in Florida for about a year, and on my birthday the next year, he called and said, can I come home? I thought I could handle this. I thought I was a man. I can't do this. I'm in debt. Can I come home? So, of course, we said, yes, of course, you can come home. So at the time, I was still doing hypnosis and started seeing more clients, and it gave me that big, big, big why. Where I wanted others to have that confidence that he had. And not only that, but I wanted to teach other hypnotists and hypnotherapists to do what I did so that they could see athletes too, and we can make a difference. And I work with a lot of youth in high school in their world, because when they learn mental toughness and they learn the power of the mind and they learn self-affirmations and how to pay attention to their thoughts, they use that for the rest of their life. So we're getting them at this like prime age. I was doing that for a while, and Josh was home for about 2 years. And then at the time, I then hired a business coach because I now had this book and I now had this program, and I wasn't sure how to market it to hypnotists and hypnotherapists around the world. So I hired a business coach. Best thing I ever did. I did in 1 year what I know would have taken me 5 years on my own. So I hired a business coach, and she talked me into going to this transformational self-development leadership course, which I was like, I can't do it. I have a son at home. The youngest was still at home. I was having a lot of problems with my marriage. My son and my husband, it was not a good situation. I said, can't leave him. But I decided to do it anyway. And it was a 4-month course. I had to go to California 4 times, first time for 10 days, and then a 4-day stretch. And it really was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And I learned that, you know, what all my blocks were, what was holding me back, what I was doing that was, you know, that crazy stuff in my head that came from childhood, the inner child that was telling me I wasn't good enough and I couldn't do it. And because I was short, I would never play a big game and I couldn't be powerful. And so I learned all of that. And I brought it home and I decided that I had had enough of the marriage that I was in and I was going to go out on my own. And so I decided to file, and 10 days later, that son that went to college, he died in a motorcycle accident. And that gave me an even bigger why. So we're going to talk a little bit about why are you doing this business? What are your whys? And when you have your whys and you have your goals, business is easy because you don't have an option but to do it. And here's the bottom line is I know, and you guys probably all know also, there is no better business in this whole world than helping people through hypnosis use the power of their mind. So why is it that there are so many in this field that are afraid to tell others what they do? They're afraid to get out there and share what we have. Because like I tell all of my mentees is we're not selling anything. We're sharing this magical thing that we have that can change their lives. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I have people come to me all the time that say, I've been seeing a psychologist for years and years, and I'm ready to try this. And we can get change in a few sessions, right? So when you embrace that, then you can start building the business and have the why. So I'm going to have you guys write a few things down. If you can pull out a paper and a pen, or if you have a laptop, go ahead and do it on there. But I have a few questions for you that I want you to start thinking about. First question, how badly do you want to be successful in this business and make money? Just write it down. How badly? Really bad, kind of bad, not really, I'm just here because it's an extra thing for me to do. It's a hobby. All right, next question. Why do you need or want to make more money or be successful? Is it because you want to go on vacation? Is it because you want to take your family on vacation? Is it because you want to buy a new house? Is it because you want to pay off debt? Like why, let's say $10,000. Why do you want to make $10,000 in the next month? What's your big why? I know for me, one of my big whys is that my parents have always had the ability to take my family's and my sister's families on vacation every year to Mexico or wherever we go. And I want to be able to do that. That's like a really big why for me. And obviously, I have to create income in order to do that. I also want to open some foster homes. And that's a really, really big why. Like this is my big audacious why is I want to open a couple houses that are foster homes for children where they're going to be safe as they're in the family in the middle. And then hopefully that would spread because I was a foster mom and I know what the system looks like. So what is your big why? I know, Connie, do you want to share your big why? I know you have that big one with your...
I do. I have a big why to become an earth angel for furry people. I already have my mom's gift card listed and it's just really to give money to different vets so that if there's an emergency for a pet and the family can afford it, because a lot of times they choose to put that animal down, instead of the vet can say, I have angel money for you, and then that animal can be saved.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is like, that's the extra income, right? So we make income for us, but the extra income also comes when we have a big why. All right. So next question. Anyone else want to share what their big why is that has like a really big why that you want to share? Larry.
I love making a lot of money to share it with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, feels good.
When, you know, one of the things I learned from a good friend of mine, Joe Locke, was to go to the bank once a month and get $100 and $2 bills. And I get into the homeless people.
Oh, I love that.
I've had many who have said, oh, I'm never going to spend this. So I taught somebody how to save.
Yeah. I love that idea.
So I think earning a lot of money can have personal goals.
Mm-hmm.
The more I give, the more it seems to come.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and that's just one of those universal laws, right? Yeah. Yeah, and when we're in scarcity, I know that one of my things that I had to move through when I went through my transformational course is that I realized that I lived in scarcity a lot. It was never enough, right? I was never enough. There's never enough money. There's never enough time. I was always worried about everything I had to do and not enough time to do it. And I know that a certain personality does tend to be more in scarcity, but I work through that every single day. There is enough. There are enough clients. There is enough money. There is enough time. There really is when you just let yourself live life, right? And give. All right. So what are your goals and dreams? So the big question that I have for you that you can write down is, what would you do if you had an $8,000 or $10,000 more a month? What would you do with it? Would you pay off debt? Would you give it away? Would you give to charity? Would you buy something? Would you go on vacation or take someone else with you? Would you fix your house? What would you do with an extra $8,000 to $10,000? All right. You ready? I'm moving okay, you guys, in time? Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that you... Well, okay, before I ask that, sorry. Okay. How much money do you want to make in the next 6 months? And this is a stretchy, like I tell my athletes, I work with a lot of athletes, stretchy but attainable goal. If you had your best 6 months, how much money do you want to make? It's stretchy. It's attainable, but it's not failure if you don't do it, because your goals get to be stretchy and attainable. So stretchy but attainable. If you worked really hard, you got out there, you weren't afraid to tell people what you did, you were good at what you did, you got a lot of referrals. How much money do you want to make in the next 6 months? Okay, now we're going to play a game called popcorn. No judgment, no right, no wrong. Some people are in this part-time. Some people are in it full-time. Some people are new. Some people have been here for a while. Just, we're going to go around the room and just pop your answer in. Again, there's no right, no wrong. So just give us a number. Go ahead, Connie. 6 months. What you're going to want to make in the next 6 months?
Got it. 75,000.
75. Steven, how about you?
Originally, it popped in
was 150,
but then it went to 60.
Okay.
That was interesting.
Yeah, so go in between, right?
60. I just say this. When was the number goes in my mind? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. The number or better. All right. Do you want to share that or? Okay. Larry?
I was just saying unlimited.
Oh, limited. There you go.
Plus.
Right? Unlimited plus and better.
Yeah.
Infinity.
Unlimited plus. Yeah, there we go. 60 plus.
And there's, it's fine if you say 5 or 10 too. Like
40.
Okay, so here's the thing, you guys. You just proclaimed it, right? And I'm going to encourage you to do everything you can to reach that number. And that means you step out of fear, you stop playing small, you get your butts out there, right? And you work. You work at it. So that's your big audacious goal. And I guarantee you, when you set it and you really believe you can reach it, you will 9 times out of 10 reach it. So I'm glad you guys did that, because a lot of times we don't set goals, right? That's the first one. Like, a lot of us, we know how important it is to set goals, but we don't even set goals for ourselves. So if you don't set a goal, you're not going to reach a goal. All right, next question for you guys is, on a scale from 1 to 10, how confident are you that you can make that happen? Now, it could be an 8 or a 5 or a 6. There's no wrong here. I'm not going to ask you guys your answers, but how confident are you that you can make that happen? With many of my clients, I ask them, how confident are you that you can win that tournament? How confident are you that you can be the state champion or whatever it is? And they'll give me a number. And I say, there's no right, no wrong. Like, first number that comes to head, I just want to know because I'm going to help you through it. And then the next question I have for you when you set that number is, what is in the gap between that number and, what did I say, 1 to 10? Okay, that number and a 10. Sometimes I do 5. So what's in the gap between that number and 10? So what's stopping you? What would stop you from doing that? If you're not a 10, why not a 10? Is it because you're afraid? Is it because you don't feel well? Is it because you don't believe in yourself? Is it because you don't have the knowledge? Like, what's in between? Anyone want to share? What's in between? Yeah.
I'm targeting the wrong customers.
Okay. Niching. Yeah. Imagine that. Anyone else?
I don't want to work that hard.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I just don't want to work that hard. I don't want to be, I want to balance between grandkids, life, love, travel.
Yeah. So you're choosing it. It's not that you can't do it. You're choosing it. Yeah.
Civil War 2.0 might be
true. Let's hope not. Yeah. Yeah. Time? That time scarcity. Yeah. Interesting, right? And so that's a really good question because, you know, some people just say it's confidence, right? Well, then you know you get to work on it. Or time scarcity, right? Because there really is no time scarcity is what I've learned is there is enough time to do everything that is important to us, right? We always get it done. And just allowing whatever you can do and being okay with that is kind of that, like getting rid of that time scarcity, right? All right. What's the next one? Oh. So here's a good question is, what is working for you in your business right now? What is working for you? Think about it, write it down. Anyone want to share what's working in their business? Go ahead, Larry. Present. Love it. Listening 100%, being ready, present for your clients.
Two viral videos a week.
Two viral videos? I love it. Yeah? What do you mean by viral videos?
Posted social networking
encouragement. Okay. Okay. And who are you encouraging? Like in the comments or?
Well, I have thousands of followers.
Okay. Okay. I love it.
I was going to say, what's working my business right now is that I'm back to getting referrals.
Love it. Golden. Referrals are golden. Connie.
Networking.
Absolutely. That's one of the steps. Yeah. All right. Okay. Next question. What's not working in your business? What's holding you back? And I'll give you some examples of what could maybe not be working in your business, right? Maybe your marketing's not working. Maybe you are afraid of getting out there. Maybe you're playing small like I was. What else? There's a bunch of other ones. Maybe you're worried about what other people think about you, right? But there's always a reason that it's not working. And if you want it to work better. If it's working 100%, then great. But anyone want to share what's not working in their business right now? Content creation. Reluctant, the resistance, right? Yeah, so there's resistance. Yeah. I would say what's not working in one of my businesses, so I kind of have the two businesses, right? I see athletes, I have my client business, my Win with Hypnosis. And then the Attitude of the Champion is where I teach and train and certify other hypnotists to work with athletes. So kind of sports hypnosis, but we call it a performance mindset expert. The reason that we do that is because, as we know, hypnosis can be a scary word. I'm not afraid to tell anybody I do hypnosis. The name of my business is Win with Hypnosis. But when we're working with athletes and parents of athletes, a lot of times they've never heard of hypnosis. they don't know anything about it, but the crazy stuff they've seen on TV or some weird stage show, and they think we're going to make them take their clothes off or something. So when we go talk to teams and coaches, it's really a performance mindset. And I just say we do an added benefit of hypnosis. I'm not going to do hypnosis in this group now. We're just going to do some visualizations. And then, you know, of course, they want their athlete to be more confident and to not have performance anxiety and get through the block that they had and all of that other stuff. So they come in to see me as a hypnotist. They get hypnosis. They see the magic of it. They love it. They can't believe the results. And then they tell everybody else to come see me because they didn't really come because they wanted to be hypnotized. They came because they wanted success, right? So that's one of the things that, like, what do? We give you success in reaching your goals and whatever it is. And I always say, like, the new version of you. So you come into my office as this version, and when you leave, who is it that you want to be? What is the version of you that you want to be when we're done working together? And, you know, it's amazing. Like, I want to be the confident athlete, or I want to be a non-smoker, or I want to believe in myself, or, you know, whatever they come in for. All right. So where was I? Anybody else want to share what is working in their business or not working? No? All right. So if we were having this conversation 6 months from now, and you were looking back at today, remembering being here at this conference, what would have to happen in your business or your life to reach that goal, that vision that you saw in your business? So when you set a certain goal, you knew that you would have to do certain things to reach that goal. So bring yourself 6 months from today and then think back to today. And what would have to happen in your business? What would you have to do that you're not doing to make that happen? I can tell you what I would, I mean, I guess I was going to tell you guys what wasn't, while you're doing that, what wasn't working for my business is I just recently decided to hire a marketer and do Facebook ads. Not a good idea. Not when you're trying to reach hypnotists and hypnotherapists around the world, because I don't even know if it was a target or whatever, but I learned a really big lesson from it. So just so you know, I'd rather do my own marketing. That was what not working, right? And we always have things that don't work in a business. Like in my 20 years, I can tell you a gazillion things that didn't work. But that's okay, because we keep working on what does work, right? All right, so 6 months from now. Anyone? Yeah.
I just got an awareness.
Yes. Good. Yay.
Because trying to move into more automation, and I've been doing this for 12 years, had a lot of success, but I work hard. I'm client based, I speak and I teach. So my resistance to automating and having more automated programs and online programs, which is what I'm learning right now to do, is my resistance to leaving my clients behind and not teaching. I'm really emotional about this because I didn't know awareness. I love being in the chair. I love getting the front row seat to my clients and see that change and see that shift and then have the aha moments. So my resistance right now is that I'm not going to get that.
So curious, could you make that a both and?
Yeah, for sure.
How do you make that a both and,
sure,
right?
For sure.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have no awareness of this. Mm-hmm. Resistance to creating. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I am so content in this piece of what I do.
Yeah.
I love it.
Right. And you can have both, right? I mean, that's one of the big secrets to life is when we stop thinking black and white, I have to do this or I have to do that. How do we make it a both and? How do we have both? You know, because there's always, it's always the option. We always can make it a both and.
Yeah.
Good, good. Yeah, some of that, right? That's kind of what we do too, like even as hypnotists, is ask the right questions to get the change. So, all right, does anyone want to share what they would have to do or they must do in their business to reach the goal they set in the next 6 months? Connie.
It would be automation. I actually bought into a program that everything is automated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I get to carve out a chunk of time to just get everything going. And knowing that the time I'm committing to that, even if it's some all-nighters, I'm slightly slightly exaggerating, but once I do that, I'm going to be a gazillion miles
ahead. Yeah, I love it. Anyone else want to share? I would say, oh, go ahead.
I just need to get out of the house.
Yes.
I need to meet people. I need to talk to them so that I can let them know that
yeah.
I can
I love that.
He's brand new.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I tell all my mentees to that and my students is that, you know, when it comes to working with athletes, you're not going to get the athletes by sitting behind your computer. You have to get out there. So like I just offered to be on a board of a women's shelter. That's getting me out in the community. I meet people, right? I can do some volunteer work with these women that are in the shelter. They're battered and homeless women. I can do volunteer work with them. I get to meet more people. I just joined Rotary. So it is. It's getting out there and letting people know who you are. And then self-promoting, right? Larry.
I like what Mike is saying. Because I remember when I first started, I was almost like ashamed to tell somebody.
Yes.
And I wouldn't say it. People say, what did you do? Well, I'm
self-employed. Right? I own my own business. Right? Yeah. And it is. It's being proud and owning it.
Maybe just remind me of something. When I was doing some business negotiations, the person I was doing with, she said, what do you do for a living? I said, oh, I'm an author.
I love it.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I agree with my concept, so now I can't.
Yeah.
And you've been an author of your entire life, right?
I was an author of my previous life.
Your entire life.
Yes. Right. I find it's easier also instead of just saying a hypnotist is what do you do? Like I help people do this, right? Using hypnosis or mindset training. So
I think it's good to brag about it now because I share a story from Inquirer newspaper many years ago. And there was a sign and the sign says sex. Now that I have your attention
for your
recorded TV show.
Right, hypnotist.
And so I'm thinking hypnosis.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so you own it, right? You just, yeah, you use it. Instead of that playing small and, you know, not wanting to tell everybody. It is. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I just read, it's an older book by Malcolm Gladwell, David Goliath. Mm-hmm. And he has this concept where you're to redefine your resistance to like whatever underdog status that you have.
Yep.
So I think for me personally, like as a profession, I'm a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a nurse for 2 decades now.
Mm-hmm.
But I have slowly eased my way out.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely out yet, but mm-hmm. getting there. And I think moving forward the resistance that I have to just redefining what it is to help people and how do I help people and how do I make an income based on that. Really being able to reshape that, like how you were talking about that you call it something else,
mm-hmm.
And giving a new meaning to what actual work you're doing,
mm-hmm.
And having the values in that. You know.
Right. And as a nurse, you're actually using hypnosis every day by helping people get better, right? And telling them they're going to be okay because a doctor can hypnotize you until you have 6 months to live and you believe it if you're, you know, in that mindset, right? And they've already hypnotized you into, oh, you're going to die in 6 months, or you're not letting them hypnotize you and you change the story, right, Larry? Yes.
You know, one of the things that you said spurred the saying in I thought about was whatever's in the way mm-hmm. is the way. So if time is in my way of doing something,
push through it.
I know that I have to focus on time to rearrange. If it is, I feel insecure. That's the way.
Mm-hmm.
Go through and deal with whatever is the way.
Yeah,
that is the way.
Push through it. Yeah,
so what's in the way shows you the way.
Right. Which reminds me of the phrase that I use all the time now is, oh, what the F, go for it anyway. So anytime I'm afraid of doing anything, I just tell myself, oh, what the F, go for it anyway, right? What's the worst thing that's going to happen? So what? So, yeah, that's one of my big things. And I teach that to my athletes, too. Just go for it anyway, right? Push through it. All right. So that leads me to, Connie, I was going to talk about a few other things, but talking about the automation, right? I'd love for you guys, we're going to play popcorn again. So automation, one of the big things to help you with your business, I resisted for way too long. I didn't want an online calendar because I didn't want people to have to, I didn't want people to choose their appointment because it might be 2 hours apart. And what am I going to do with the 2 hours in between? And I wanted to be in control of stacking my appointments. So I was like, I'm not doing the online thing, right? Once I did, my life got so much easier. I'm not emailing people back and forth. I just send them a simple link to Calendly. We're going to talk about the different platforms in a minute. So I send them a link to Calendly. That sends them a, this is what our first session is going to look like. Here's a link to the intake form, fill it out, and here's a link to payment. Done, right? And then I get the intake form and my, I use ActiveCampaign, but my client management system. And then they get reminders and they get follow-up emails and it's done, right? So I would love for you guys to share, because everybody always asks this question, and this is one of the things to have a successful business is to kind of have this figured out. I had to do it with my VA years ago. And I think it took us forever because we didn't know how to do it. What do you use for your scheduling? And if it's just email or whatever, that's fine too. Or you're just getting started. Just, it doesn't matter. There's no right, no wrong. What do you use for your scheduling? And what do you use for your client management? I think it's just nice to share this. So, Connie, what do you use?
I just purchased HypnoBiz in a box. And I'm loving it because I have everything.
Okay. What do you use?
What's automated client management? What's the client management side of it?
Client management, like I use ActiveCampaign. It's like Kartra or where we keep emails and send emails from. MailChimp.
Okay. I use Simple Practice for scheduling.
Okay.
And then everything else is email.
Okay. Simple Practice is what he said. And the rest is email. So you, do you keep emails somewhere in a platform?
Just in like a business email account.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's fine. How about you?
I've been retired 15 years and I'm just getting back into it. So I'm not using it.
Okay, that's all right. What do you use? Okay, so you're learning. Well, good, you're learning.
We use Square for our calendaring and our credit card process. And,
yep.
For our newsletter, which goes out once a week, we use Constant Contact.
Okay.
We store our videos in a professional YouTube account.
Yep.
OneStream.
Okay, so I'm going to repeat that. So he uses Square for calendar scheduling. I didn't know that was an option. And for getting, for payments. And then Constant Contact for the emails and the client management system. And YouTube, yes, I store all my videos on YouTube now also. Super easy. And then you just give someone a link to get it. Even like the pre-talk, I send in Calendly for a pre-talk video, and that's in YouTube. And then what was the last one that you used?
We use Patreon. We have a Patreon system.
Patriot.
You have to subscribe to that.
Yep.
So there's a free tier, which just gives me a more list for marketing.
Okay. Okay.
Patreon. Personal and edgy material I would just put out.
Okay, okay. Oh, one other thing, you guys, I just want to tell you because it is the best program I've ever had. It's called Descript, and you literally can load a video into it, and it transcribes it in moments. You can delete ums and ahs and any filler words, they call them. You can delete sections, and it not only deletes the script, but it deletes it right off that video. And then you can put captions in there. You can pull clips from it. It is genius, and it makes yes, and it makes life so easy. I just did a workshop. Yes, DE. Yes, I just did a workshop on Wednesday, and my virtual assistant, because she's in Pakistan, stayed up all night, edited it on some other program. The volume wasn't working. I wake up the next morning. She's still up. She's been up for like 18 hours working on this. I'm paying her for all these 18 hours. And then I say, go to bed. You're so exhausted. We hop on Zoom. And I said, did you try to put it in Descript? And she said, no, I tried, but it wouldn't load. So I knew it had to be done. So I just put it in my program. I put it in VScript, and like an hour and a half later, the whole video was edited and captioned, and I was able to put it on YouTube and go. And like she had worked on it all night. So that's like how easy it is. So cool.
I
could
have given you a kiss afterwards.
Of course. I take your kisses. How about you? What do you use? Michael.
I just use part-time on full-time probation officer for the state of Mass, but I have a private, very small private practice. Okay. What I do is I use therapy notes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all my
therapy
billing,
notes.
Yeah, my scheduling. So I bill the insurance companies, mm-hmm. and then when I don't know if you guys bill insurance companies, but it's they're paying. You have to then double check everything. So then I have a written calendar,
mm-hmm.
and I'll go back and I highlight different colors for like say like Harvard program or Blue Cross Blue Shield. So I have different colors, and then
okay.
I know like my clients and colors and I match up, and then I break down the amount that I got paid. So I can track the payments.
Wow, that's a system.
Yeah, it's
called therapy notes.
I'm developing mentors, so mm-hmm. I reach out, I talk to other people that do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone, I've sat down with them. That's the best system I've found so far.
Yeah. Good. All right, does anyone else want to share? Because I have a few more things I want to share with you guys, and I have 5 minutes.
I use Constant Contact.
Yep.
Because I started it 140 years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
yes, why I'm an active campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so just a few other things, just because I want to get to a few other things that I wanted to talk about for a successful, thriving business. Personal growth, coaches, courses, coaches, podcasts, events. You guys, personal growth is massive. I'm telling you, find a course, find a coach. Find an event to up-level you. Figure out what's holding you back. Find a buddy you can practice with. Find a buddy you can bounce things off with that's in this business, that knows what you're talking about, is also an entrepreneur. Find that person. And maybe you just find a coach or a mentor, but find that person. And here's the big thing. When you find that person, reach out to someone here this weekend. I'm going to stretch you guys. Your stretch is if you don't have a buddy or a mentor or someone that you bounce things off of, reach out this weekend, ask if they'll connect with you in the next couple weeks, and just have a conversation about your businesses. And here's the best thing is when you develop that relationship, start asking for feedback. We don't ask for feedback often enough. What do you think of this? And then even like, what is your experience of me? How am I showing up? You guys are going to get so much golden information because we think we show up a certain way, but other people can see us through different eyes. So find someone that can answer that for you. How do you show up? What is the feedback you can give me? Right? It's golden. So that's super important. Having processes and systems, we talked a little bit about that. Streamlining things, it will save you a whole ton of time. VAs, oh gosh, and what else? Oh, just make it easy, right? Find easy clients, have a structure. For me, easy clients are athletes. They're a four-structured system, got the scripts there, know what to do. It's not emotional, mental training. I love athletes. They're the best referrers. They age up. They come again and again and again. I see them year after year. I see them month after month. And so that for me is like easy no-brainer. So find easy clients, right? Don't make this hard. It's supposed to be fun. I wanted to also mention real quickly before we're done that I do have Connie and I are sharing a booth over there in the room. Come see me. I am offering $1,000 off my Attitude of a Champion program for this conference, and because I just did a workshop on Wednesday, and so the pricing is still there. So I just want to let you guys know that. And this is a 7-day free email course on working with athletes. So if you're interested in working with athletes, just go ahead. You can pass those around and get the QR code. It's got like videos in it and PDFs and workshops, and like it's 7 days of emails of some of my secrets that I teach my mentees. It's a portion of what's in the course. The course is a whole lot bigger than that, but this is just a little teaser, I guess. All right. Does anyone have any questions or want to give any feedback? I'm open to feedback.
One thing I want to add, I have a YouTube channel as well, but I also utilize Vimeo. Because Vimeo, I think it's $86 a year. It's not tons of money.
Yeah.
And because that way you own it. I was worried about social media at any time to take that stuff away. So.
But Vimeo, you own it, and YouTube, Vimeo, you don't?
Well, Vimeo, because I pay for it. So where YouTube, you don't pay for it, so you could, you know, use your channel or something.
3 minutes. 1, 2, 3. All right. Larry, did you have something? Larry.
I just had a quick comment on feedback.
Oh, I'd love feedback.
Feedback is very powerful. Unfortunately, many of us fear rejection.
We do.
Feedback sounds like rejection. Well, I think you should have done it like this.
Yeah.
And so I think that we need to learn the person we're asking for feedback. And if they use tonal quality or language itself as negative,
true, true. And here's the secret to that is when you start seeing feedback as neutral, because we all see things differently, right? You have a different experience in life than I do. You see things different than I do, but feedback is neutral. So when you give me feedback, I can take it or leave it. I don't have to take it. I can say, you know what? That doesn't resonate with me. I'm getting rid of that.
But if I'm insecure and just starting my business and I say, how do you think I did? Well, I think you should have done this.
True.
And you bring the finger up, too.
True. Yes. That's true, right? Mike, we got to get to a space. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very good. All right, thank you guys for being here.